This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome, everyone. This is View from the Raptors.
We're launching a podcast. This is good news.
I would like to be a part of that.
I could make it up, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, that sounds right. That's good.
Right on. Just keep going.
I bleed green.
Should probably have somebody look at that.
All right, we just keep bringing the heat here on View from the Raptors. Last week, we had NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. This week, we're going all Celtics. It's an absolute Celtics legend. He's here with Perk and Sean Granny and myself, and he's a 2008 champion. He's a finals MVP. His number 34 is hanging up in the rafters. He's the truth. He's the captain, Paul Pierce P. Welcome to the pod, man. Perk's ready to grill you, I'm telling you.
How's it going? What up, Big Perk?
Truth, what's happening? It's crazy because I'm actually coming out. I'm actually doing a book right now, right?
Yeah. And is that breaking news right now?
It is.
Perk's writing a book?
I'm doing a book. And it's to the point where we was talking about my early days with the Celtics. And yeah, man, it was crazy, P, because it brought back so many memories of I just remember you, like, I said, man, P took me under his wing as a youngster. Like, it was three of us that was rookies, and for some reason, P adapted to me. And I was just telling in my book, like, it was them times, bro, you just would invite me to your crib, and me and you would literally just sit up there and watch three or four games and just talk about what was going on around the league. And I had, and all of it started coming back as I'm telling, you know, the stories. I'm like, man, me and P used to play head up on bones every day. Like, it was, and I was like, man, I couldn't wait. Hey, Mark, I used to be looking forward to P hitting me on my text saying, big fella, come on through, because, you know, I got tired of being in that townhouse. I want to go stay in that goddamn 6,500-foot, square-foot mansion.
Oh, man, look, that dominoes brought us together.
Yeah. What made you gravitate toward Perk? I mean, we all know why, but back in the day, what made you bring him in?
Well, you know what? It's like you know, you feel out certain people when you're around them, and it's something you really can't even explain. It's just you knew what type of guy, what type of player, you know, what type of mentality he had, and you know, it was similar to mine. And so you gravitate towards that, and then, you know, that's why we work so well. Guys like him, Tony Allen. I mean, that team was so, we gravitated so well with each other, just on a mental aspect, and that's what just drew us all together to be so close. You know, even though we was on some losing teams, we were a close knit team.
Hey, Mark, I got three incidents that P, I think that really woke P up for us with me, right? So we used to have to report right before Labor Day. And I come in the gym as a rookie, and I'm just throwing elbows at Tony Battea, and Paul like, damn.
Oh, yeah, right.
I remember this. He's like, okay, young fella in here getting physical.
Right.
So then he goes to my first preseason game, we play the Detroit Pistons in Detroit. And I get an offensive rebound, and I just go up and dunk it with two hands and yell. And I remember coming to the bench, and P was like, dang, you gonna just go up over D.C. and Ben Wallace like that? And I was like, you don't remember that, P? I remember like it was yesterday. And look, this was the last test. P always used to, like, with the young guys, he wanted to see, all right, you maybe could hoop, but I want to see who got heart. I want to see who dedicated. He used to tell us that all the time. So one day, I go in the locker room, and P, I'm in my tights. He like, who? I want to see which one of y'all got harder, which one of y'all humble. Like, what's happening? He throw $1,500 on the ground. He like, Big Perk, what's up? It's like a foot of snow, 2 feet of snow.
Right there outside the weight room.
I bet you won't go outside and give me 100 push-ups right now in the snow in your tights. I said, who? I said, bet that when did it. And ever since then, P was like, I'm rocking with you, young fella.
I didn't think he would do it, really. I was like, man, it was freezing outside. It was freezing. He went out there, and I was like, ooh, the big fella. He that's the type of guy you want to go to war with. You know, it's like going to boot camp. You know, everything not easy. You got to put them through some stuff before you know you get them out there with the action, you know. So that was like my way of seeing, you know, let me see where these kids' mentality is. You know, put them through a little boot camp.
So who put you through the boot camp when you were a rook?
Yeah, I never heard this one, P. I got to hear.
Man, I didn't really have no boot camp. I came in kicking doors down. You got to understand, my team is different. You got to understand, like, Antoine was our vet. You had Ron Mercer, who was in his second year. But you got to understand, we all the same age. You know, even though they came out before me, the only one that was the older vet was probably Kenny Anderson. And, you know, Kenny probably, you know, the most he made me do, I had to go get the donuts and I had to get his coffee and stuff, warm
That's
up his
easy.
Coffee. Yeah, that was easy stuff for me. But, you know, I think, you know, being able such a young team that I really didn't have that type of vet that was just like, all right, young fella, you know, I had to show myself the ropes on the most part.
But you said you kicked the doors down, and you know, that's a perfect segue into this because it's Hall of Fame week. And obviously, about a month ago, you just found out that you're a Hall of Fame finalist for the next class going in 2022.
And rightfully so.
Absolutely, yeah. So first and foremost, congratulations. Well-deserved, man. Unbelievable career that you put together here in Boston. And then even after that, you continue to play at a really high level. But I just want to ask you, what's the anxiety level of, like, you found out that you're a finalist, but now you got to wait. There's, like, that interim period to actually get the final word of if it's happening or not.
Right.
Well, that's coming this weekend. And so, you know, with the Hall of Fame class of with KG and Kobe and Tim Duncan coming up, I got some insider information I can't really say right now. But the announcement, official announcement, will come this Sunday.
Okay, so before you got this inside information, what was the anxiety like at that point when you just you didn't know necessarily what was going to happen?
Well, you still don't know. You know, you just wait and see, and it's just a wait and see. You know, hopefully I've, you know, convinced the people who makes that call enough throughout my career to where, you know, I'm on there and I'm hopefully inducted into the first ballot Hall of Fame.
You will be. Hey, P, look, I always tell people, in my opinion, your finals, and I'm not just saying this because you're my brother and we rode together and we won it together. I'm just saying for what you went through with this finals MVP run that you had.
Yeah.
You went through a prime Joe Johnson. You went through a LeBron James.
Man,
you were a Detroit Pistons who sent multiple bodies at you from Will Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince to Chauncey, right? Guarded by, they were the Pistons, like you talking about.
Sure.
You're right, and you went through that, going through Kobe to win the NBA Finals. Like, I think people don't even see the value. And I said, see, what y'all don't realize is, yes, we had defenders. But when we started the game, P started off guarding each and every one of them. And his motto was, you're going to have to bust my head to the white meat.
Right.
Yeah, they might have got some off on P, but he got more. But P, I want to ask you this because I never, out of all the conversations we had, I never asked you this. When you got to the league, what was your moment where you was like, hey, man, I'm like that. I'm about to be one of these dudes in this league for the rest of my career. Like, what was that moment where now you was like, yeah, I'm here?
Man, I think I really came off running because I remember, you know, my first game was against Vince Carter. You know, that's like, we was like rookie rivals. He got picked before me. Right. We the same class. We the same position. And, you know, he had a good game. I had a good game. But that game where I was like, I'm going to tell you this. It was against Penny Hardaway. And I was guarding. And this is when he was in Orlando. And I don't know if he was hurt or not, but I know I held him to 0 points. And I was like, because you got to understand this, how I looked up to Penny. I wore his shoes all through college.
Yeah.
Penny's shoes, he was my guy. And I was like, I'm guarding Penny tonight, you know. And I don't know if he was hurt. I don't, but I know I held him to zero. I remember I ripped him. And I was like, ooh, I'm here. I am here. And I am here to stay.
It was defense that made you realize.
It was a defense. But look, I'm gonna tell you this, though. It was one dude who put me in my place that I'll never forget. Grant Hill. Oh, my gosh. We playing in a close game. The Pistons is in the guard. I mean, it's 4 minutes to go. It's like 3 minutes to go, 2 minutes to go. I'm telling you, Perk, he ISO'd me every single time down the court. And you know what he used? You know what he did? He did exactly what I used to tell Tony Alley in practice every day when I got the ball. I said, one of three things is going to happen, Tony. I mean, or you're going to foul me, or I'm going to find somebody else for the assist. And he did that to me every single time. That if he didn't score on me, I fouled him, or he got into the paint and dropped it off to somebody, and they beat us. And it was just like a moment was like, can I even play NBA defense out here? But then you had to look. This is Grant Hill, though. We talking about one of the all-time. You know, this is like LeBron before LeBron. But
some people, like some of the younger generation, they don't know how good he was before he hurt his ankle in Orlando. He was the next coming.
He was on the point to, like, take over as poster boy over Jordan, Perk. Mm-hmm. He was next. It was like Grant. It was like Jordan. And then Grant was next in line.
So we're talking about Hall of Fame, and you're going to be in town this coming weekend to see KG go in. I know you guys go way back, like way back to the days in the AAU circuit. What's it like to see someone who you grew up with, who you won a title with, who you were trying to get to play with each other for so damn long in the pros? Like, what's it like to see him finally have his moment?
It's going to be exciting, man. And, you know, I can't wait to hear his speech, you know, because you got to understand when Kevin talks, it's just like the room freezes. You don't understand his presence. But, like, if you ever watch his interviews or in a room where he's, like, really, you know, got some things to say, it's just like the room just turns cold and you just freeze and you just kind of like you make an eye contact with him and you can't you're hinging on every word he says because you know right. He's gonna say something good and interesting and you know for me to see how he's come from a skinny 7-foot kid from South Carolina to Chicago to the NBA to now the Hall of Fame, which is the last chapter in this book. He might have to write another book. I see that book you got behind
him. I got it. I got a couple of them, man. I can't stop reading it.
He's going to have to add another chapter to this book, man. I mean, because this is the final piece of the pie right here, getting inducted to the Hall of Fame, because this is over. And we can't forget, I think maybe next year, I think you know this, that his number's going off up in the garden. So,
supposed to be this year, but
it's supposed to be this year.
So we couldn't make it happen.
You might have to rewrite that book, man.
Add a couple chapters.
Yeah, had a couple.
You know he got a game plan.
Oh man,
he already foresee the future, man. So
yeah, definitely. I'm actually going over his house after this. I think I'm gonna head over there and
you got to tell him good things. We got to get him on here next. What's your favorite story of your time with him in Boston? I know you've told. I love listening to the story of Las Vegas when you guys went there and you darted out of the cab and you didn't pay the cabbie. And he was like, what the hell? What's going on? This is city life? But what's your favorite story from Boston?
Oh, man, we got so many great stories, man. I mean, all right, how about this one? This is what I always tell in the game. We're playing the San Antonio Spurs, right? And the whole scout report was like, all right, we need the snow. Ginobili is just on a tear coming into our building. So I got Ginobili that night. And so he's guarding Matt Bonner. I'm not sure if Duncan was playing that night. I'm not. Was Duncan? He may have. Maybe Perk was guarding Duncan. And Ticket had Matt Bonner. And so
it is.
Point being, I'm working my butt off. I'm shutting Ginobili down. Next thing you know, Matt Bonner's going off. He got 20 points at the half, right? So I hold Ginobili to about like 6 or 7 points. He's on a tear. So now we're on the hallway. We're going into the locker room. I think we probably down like 2 or 3. And we're walking down the hall, about to walk in the locker room. And I'm like, damn, who the hell got Matt Bonner? I'm over here. I'm over here working my butt off.
Yeah.
You know, working my butt off guarding Ginobili. And in my mind, you know, I'm just saying this so the whole team can hear it. I'm calling KG out. Like, who the hell got Matt Barner? He turned around and get in my face. He said, I got Matt Barner. The reason he got 20 goddamn points, because I was helping your ass out, slow down Ginobili.
I remember that.
I love that. That sounds like KG, no doubt. New England native, Matt Barner, by the way. He's a New England native.
Let me jump into the conversation here with something I've thought about for many, many years, and I think it takes a lot of years to look back and have a different perspective on it. Danny's only regret of what I call the new Big Three era, right, those 6 years, were how old you were, how old KG was, and how old Ray was when it started. And we all, in our mentality, our sports mentality, say, man, imagine if 4 or 5 years earlier those guys had gotten together. I mean, KG was MVP. You guys were all at the top of your game. And then that basketball logic says, you know what, they would have won multiple championships. But younger players, it's not always that simple. What in your mind now with your brain where you are now looking back, what would have happened if that group had been, if you guys had been together 4 or 5 years earlier?
I really believe we would have won multiple titles, because this is why. I'll tell you, Sean. You got to understand, like, okay, you know, when you first come in the league, you want to establish a name for yourself. You want to establish a presence. I think at that, if you look back four or five years from there, I was in my fifth year. I think I was at that point where I established who I was in the league. You know, at that point, KG was in the MVP. At that point, you know, Ray had made multiple All-Stars like myself. We already signed big contracts, you know. So it was just like, you know, what do you want? After you establish that part of your career, you're like, okay, what's next? You know, I've made a lot of money now. I've made an All-Star team. Now I want to win. What else is there? I want to win now. And I truly believe, especially how selfless of a superstar KG is, there's no doubt in my mind we would have won multiple titles. I mean, he's got to be one of the most selfless superstars. You know, a guy who could have demanded the ball every time down, we would have gave it to him. And he pretty much would have just been the offense. But, you know, he was so unselfish the way he passed the ball and brought guys together on the defensive end. I truly believe we would have won.
You remember Doc used to have to stop practice when he wouldn't shoot. I'm moving the ball. Yeah, we're moving it to you.
Right. Doc will beg him to take 20 shots a night. And I was like, you don't hear that from a coach telling your superstar. Yep. Like, that shows you how unselfish KG was.
I don't know if you remember this. Very early in that season, we were going to Orlando. We went to Doc's house in the afternoon. And afterwards, we're going back to the hotel, and they had different vans. You and I were in the same van. And it was almost like, you could barely contain your joy at the way the early season had gone, and you were just talking about the I would have traded. I'll trade the locker room. I was telling everybody, I'll trade this locker room to get KG here, and it was just that. It was so it was so joyful to be around you and to be around that group because it was almost like I always say he plugged something in.
Absolutely, man. The crazy thing about it, man, I was like, man, Wick, this is the piece right here. In 2006, I said
you
that.
You said it during a game, right?
Yeah.
I tell him that. I mean, we tell this story. I look right at Wick like, we need to get him right here. I mean, I think everybody in the whole front row heard me.
KG said he didn't know what was going on. And he was like, is he talking to his owner and telling him to trade for him? This is the middle of they're all at the free throw line at this time. It's a crazy story. Crazy story.
I don't think, Paul, I don't think people realize that your relationship with KG didn't begin in 2007. It didn't begin when you were in the NBA at All-Star Weekends, that it literally goes back more than 25 years.
He stayed at my house in Inglewood, California. He had the duck in the doorways in my little house in Inglewood. He had the duck. And, I mean, man, I'm telling you, we played that week AAU ball. You know, you got to understand, there was no Instagram, you know, no social media when we were in high school. So I heard of Kevin Garnett. I was like, because, you know, as a kid, you want to move up in the rankings. So you're reading about players. And, you know, man, who is this guy at the top, Kevin Garnett? He's 7 feet with, you know, who is Stephon Marbury? And then to get a chance to, like, read about him and then actually see him. So just like when he walks into the gym, my first sight of him was like, whoa, this is Kevin Garnett. I mean, he was taller than life. I mean, fast as a gazelle, His intensity was through the roof. I just remember the first practice as kids, he was yelling out the gym. And after that, that's where we established our relationship. We played on the same AAU team just for 1 week in a tournament to where my first, this was my last tournament as an AAU player for high school. I was going to be a senior. This is the summer going to the senior. This is my last year, the very last tournament of the biggest tournament of the summer, a tournament in which I took second place every year. Every year we lost in a championship. We bring on KG. We end the summer off on a championship. No, biggest tournament of the summer. And we just was in contact ever since then. That's where our bond formed.
Tell me if you're with me on this. They just finished the Showtime, putting together that Showtime documentary, right, on KG. They've interviewed a lot of us over the last few months to get it ready. And we were both in Boston before. You knew what Celtic fans were like, what Boston was like. And this is the analogy I came up with. So I want to see if it passes your test. About 15 years ago, about that time, the first viral video on YouTube, one of the first ones ever, when it was in its infancy.
You're dating yourself here.
Is when they tell, I wish I could, Mark, I wish I could date myself. That's how much I'm a fan of myself. Is when they took the candy, the Mentos candy, right, and they put it in the soda bottle, and right, the thing would just explode. That I described it as KG was the Mentos and Boston and the Garden was the soda. At this, it's like the second he got there.
Just the buzz around it, man. I don't even know. I remember I was in L.A. You know how I found out that we were possibly getting KG? I found out through Antoine Walker. I was in Los Angeles, and Antoine was at something. I think, I don't know if it was a ceremony for Gary Payton that KG was at. They were at something in Newport, and I was upset that I didn't even get the invite. I was like, Sam Cassell was there, GP, KG out in Newport, and I was in Los Angeles, and Twan calls me and said, yo, I think y'all getting KG. I was like, what? I was like, really? And so, you know, I'm on the phone with Danny every day, like, hey, what's going on? Hey, is this for real? And Danny made it happen, man. Because that's a summer. It could have went so many directions. You know that, Sean. It could have.
You and Kobe said.
It could have went in so many different directions. It was either like we're going to build to win or I wasn't going to be there. You know, I thought that I would get traded, honestly, that summer. And for it to go from me possibly getting traded that summer to adding Ray and KG and winning a championship, that was the best summer of my whole career.
We walked in. You may not remember this because the day was a blur, but the press conference at the Garden, we happened to get there at the same time. And we're kind of walking up the stairs. The stairs you always told me took years off your career, walking up those stairs. After we parked the car, you had to walk up the stairs, right? Three or four flights to get to where the floor was of the Garden. And it was almost as if we knew the world was changing, and we sort of caught eyes with each other. And, you know, it's like, dap you off, lean in. It was like, it was a whole new world right now. And you're like, no doubt.
Like, is this for real?
Is this real? That's what it felt like. Is this really happening?
It was like, you understand, we had the worst record in the league, and then all of a sudden we get this type of firepower in. It was like, wow. I couldn't believe it was for real. I mean, you got to understand, my workouts that summer, like, I worked hard in the summer, but, like, when that trade happened, I think I was doing 3 a-days. I think I was waking up at 5 a.m., going from 6 to 8, 10 to 1, and then, like, 3 to 5. Like, take an hour break, eat, then go work out again. I was getting prepared.
It just motivates you that much more when you got those other guys around you coming in, right?
I mean, as a competitor, that's all you ever want was a chance. And that's all I ever say. I sit in the back with Johnny Joe, John and Max. You know, I just wanted a chance, you know, and I felt like this was it.
Hey, man, you got the chance. You took it. You capitalized on it. And like Purchase said earlier, you had one of the craziest finals MVP runs we've seen in recent memory, just with the guys you were taking on. Mano a mano every single round. It's one of the craziest runs we've seen recently. All right, everyone, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more with Paul Pierce. I know I've been waiting forever to get back into TD Garden for a live Celtics game, and I know you've been feeling the same way. So why not make up for some lost time? Get in on all of the action for next season by signing up for the Celtics season ticket member waitlist presented by American Express. Listen, when you sign up, you'll get priority access to purchase season ticket memberships for the 2021-22 season once tickets become available. So, after you're done listening here, head on over to celtics.com/waitlist to sign up today, and you'll be back inside the Garden in no time, helping your boys grab a win. I want to talk to you about where this team is nowadays. You know, let's talk about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I want to make a direct parallel with where they are right now to where you were when you were 23, 24, 25 years old. You averaged 25 a game when you were 23. You were an all-star when you were 24. You got to the conference finals in, what was it, your fourth year in the league? So like you kind of experienced what they are experiencing now of not being able to break through to the NBA finals in these young years. But talk to me about what the challenges were when you're a young player still trying to figure it out. And some people out there might not understand, like, there's got to be some level of patience. Like, there's not a lot of guys who are under 25 years old leading teams to the NBA finals. It never happens.
Right. Well, you know, these guys have finally established themselves, you know, within the year as NBA superstars individually. And, you know, that's, you know, you want to come in the NBA and make a name for yourself. And I think over these last couple of years, you saw that with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Now, the fine line is, you know, having an understanding, how do I take my individual success and put that into the team success now and make the team better to where we take the next step? And that's what I had to learn. You know, at the end of the day, it wasn't always about having huge scoring games, but how can I make my teammates better? But, you know, they're in a position to where they've had earlier success than I had. You know, they were in the conference finals as what, rookies?
Year one, year two.
Yeah, and so now, and they weren't stars yet, but they had a collective unit that was really good. Now they've established themselves as individual stars. And, you know, when you get to this point, you're still so young, it could be frustrating, you know, because now, you know, when you become these stars, expectations follow.
Yeah.
You know, now, okay, I've made the all-star team. I've done this. Now LeBron is out of the Eastern Conference. Are the Celtics going to take that leap? And this just goes to show you how tough it is to win in the NBA, because you saw the Celtics a few years ago, you were like, this is the team of the future. This is the team that's going to be running the Eastern Conference. But one player can change a team's fortunes. And we saw that, you know, with Brooklyn, you know, we're seeing that with these other teams like the Clippers and getting Kawhi and, you know, him ending up in Toronto and winning the chip. And so nothing is ever guaranteed. And so, yeah, they have time. Yeah, they're young. And so they'll have to figure it out, but they need more help. You know, you need two all-stars, and they've established themselves as two all-stars, but, you know, they need a little more depth if they want to take that next step.
And P, I got one more question for you, and it's about the team. Tell me how you feel about Rob Williams, right? Tom Lord. My honest opinion, I think he could be the Celtics center for the future. I think he could work on his body a little bit more, but I just want to hear it coming from your mouth because, you know, you and I be having these conversations all the time about different players.
I think he's a great fit for them. You know, he's a guy who, you know, he can really contribute without having the ball. Mm. And because you got guys like Kemba and Tatum, these guys are going to have the ball. These guys are offense. He reminds me a lot of you, Perk. You know, he's in there doing the dirty work. He's young. You know, he's blocking shots. He can rebound at a high level, which he did in college.
He's way more athletic than me, though.
Yeah, he's super athletic. He can catch the lobs.
You know you were rising up for those oops.
P had to drop them off.
you know what I'm saying? But he's a guy that I can see his mentality. He loves to do the dirty work. And, you know, he understands what his role is for this team to be successful. He's just young. And, you know, everybody can't be the star. He's going to be a guy that's going to do dirty work, and he's going to make a lot of money in this league, you know, being a guy who can block shots, rebound, run the court, catch lobs. I mean, look at Clint Capella. Look at where he is. He can be just like that guy, and Clint Capella right now could arguably be an all-NBA player right now.
Oh, I agree.
And so, you know, he reminds me a lot of him in that aspect, and I think he is the center of the future.
So, Paul, when you look back on that time of when you were young, and you had to wait until you were, like, what, 30 years old, right, until KG and Ray came to town. So I'm just curious, like, when you look back at that time and you try to figure out what you could have done differently to maybe speed up the timeline of getting that other person to town or helping your team get to the next level? What are maybe some things that you would have done differently when you were back at their stage where they are?
You know, I'm not sure if there was much I could have did differently, because when I look at the whole dynamics of how it all went, because in the middle of me, you know, making my first All-Star game, getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, the organization had a change in direction. And so right after that, you got to understand, we lost a coach. We lost a couple coaches. New ownership group comes in. New GM Danny Ainge comes in, and they decide, okay, we're heading in the right direction. They're like, okay, well, we don't think this team long run can sustain this. You know, we're going to rebuild. And I'm in the middle of really establishing myself as an NBA All-Star. And so, you know, my path was a little different. It was like I was getting there, I was heading in the right direction, and then all of a sudden everything was swept from up under me, because we had an All-Star in Antoine Walker who was traded. You know, we had great role players, Tony Battee, who were shipped off. And so it was like, wow, you know, we're going into a rebuild. And then, and also, I almost was traded, what a lot of people don't know, because in only my fourth year after signing my long-term deal, do you know we drafted three players at my position, which I never understood that. Kendrick Brown, Joe Forte, these guys are perimeter guys, and Joe Johnson, all at my position.
Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and the rest of this core. Hey, if you had one thing to tell them as they go into this kind of middle portion of their career, about to hit their prime in the next couple of years, what would you tell them?
Wow. You know what? I would just say, you know, keep working and stay patient. You know, they're far ahead of the game, I feel like, than I was at this stage. But they got time. You know, they got time. You got two tremendously talented players who can play together for a long time. And, you know, right now they have to learn how to become leaders, I think. The game is there. Now they have to learn how to be a leader to this ball club. You know, I'm not there on an everyday basis, so I don't know how they lead. But, you know, sometimes it shows on the court. And so they have to continue on getting better in that aspect of their careers. Because when you have teammates that, like Perk said, he would have ran through the wall for me. You know, learn your teammates, you know, love your teammates. And I think the thing I had that was great for that worked for me is I spent time with all my teammates. You know, it didn't matter if you were the last guy on the bench or in the starting lineup. I got to know every single one of my teammates that came through there. And I invited them all out to dinner all the time. We always did things. And I think that goes a long way to, you know, how you develop success on the court, is getting to learn your teammates off the court. And it helps for them gaining that respect. And I know they already have it because of the way they play, but just like I saw how it took a whole nother level when I started just spending more time with my teammates, putting myself out there like that. Like, man, come on, Gabe Pruitt, we going to eat. You know, I might be a rookie. He like, what, me? You taking me? Like, yeah, me and you, man, come on. As a matter of fact, I need you to hold my jacket, by the way, the whole night. We going to go eat, you know what I'm saying? But I need you to hold this. But we going.
it's like one of those things when your parents tell you, like, you'll understand one day, right? But they just might not get it yet. But when they get to your age, they'll be able to look back and say, now I know what he was talking about.
Hey, Mark, don't forget for a second. First of all, like, as important as Mbutu was, let me tell you something. Paul used it all the time. If he wanted like a soda or something like that, he'd be like, and there was some rookie didn't want to get up to, hey, Mbutu, dog. Come on, hey. Man. You gotta, you know.
Oh, man, Tony, we got dinner. Oh, you got that extra shrimp over there, Mbutu, man.
Doesn't 2006 have to happen for you, the season you had, as the best player on a team that was younger, that didn't make the playoffs? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that a very important part of making you the player you were in the second half of your career?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. And, man, a lot of moving parts happened. It was just like when I look at how it all happened, I got hurt. And I've never been hurt in my career. In 2006, you know, I have a stress fracture in my foot that I played on for like three games before I realized it was cracked, and we go on this 18-game losing streak. Man, do you guys know? I don't know if you guys know how frustrated I was there going to the games night in and night out. Like, wow, we're farther away than I thought. You know, we were a team that had a lot of young guys that could maybe push for an eighth slot, maybe, to a team that, like, man, we're farther away than I thought, to where I want to be at this point in my career. And, man, you guys don't know. It was a lot of secret meetings going on with me, Danny, Wick, Steve, Sully, up in those offices, and trying to determine, like, what direction are we all trying to go in.
And in the end, the right direction.
It worked itself out. I mean, dude, we had the best odds to get the number one pick, and we get the fifth pick. I was like, what else bad can happen? I mean, we have the worst record. We get the fifth pick. The basketball gods weren't on our side initially, but that fifth pick turned into Ray Allen.
Yep. And Ray Allen turned into KG.
Exactly. I mean, it could have went so many different ways, because if, say, we do get the number one pick, say we get Kevin Durant, I mean, oh, man, it could have went so many variables. There's just so much. The domino effect, you guys understand. I think about it all the time.
Hey, that's a perfect wrap-up. You talked with Perk about dominoes earlier in the call. Now we're talking about dominoes at the end. I love it. No, Paul Pierce, right, man, congrats on the Hall of Fame nomination. Hopefully you're going to hear that good news sometime soon. It sounds like you may have heard a little birdie in your ear.
Man, but I also want to give a shout out to KG, my boy, man. I'm excited for him going to Hall of Fame. I'm going to be right there. I'm flying into Boston Friday. And so, we're going to head out to the Mohegan Sun, hang out, have some grub. And, you know, I can't wait to be there to support my brother.
Love it. Enjoy it.
Maybe one day we'll tell the story of Antoine's night at Mohegan Sun after that preseason game.
Oh, I got a lot of stories.
Oh, there we go. That's behind the scenes with the Boston Celtics. We'll get into that in a future episode, no doubt. Paul Pierce, man, thanks for the time. Enjoy it this weekend. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun.
Definitely. Mark, Sean, good speaking with y'all.